All right, let's get this out in the open right from the beginning. Jesus is not condemning the man in today's story because he's wealthy. Jesus is speaking to a human being who has approached him, is seeking and wants to know more. He wants to know how he can get the spiritual prize of eternal life. That's the first step in discipleship, to seek the wise counsel of Jesus Christ. We seek him because we have the desire within us to be obedient and gain a wise heart. The truth is that life, in the bigger scheme of things, is brief. Every day we have here together on earth is a gift from God. Each day is a day God has made. This is God's day. And we are to ask as believers, how might you want us to spend this day, God? The psalmist writes, "Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, so that we may rejoice and be glad all our days." In other words, may we be satisfied with you, Lord, and the way that you love us. Help us to not be satisfied with all of our belongings, all of our stuff. That's why we hear Jesus say to the disciples, how hard it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God. We are so emotionally and spiritually connected to material things. And it's not just people with money. As a new empty nester, I wrestle with downsizing. I don't want to leave a home where I have many memories with my children. And if I'm more honest, I'm pretty comfortable. And I really don't want much more change right now. I'd rather not, Lord. My first answer sounds good, but if I'm more honest, I'm saying, you know what, Lord, I've been through enough change. I don't want any more right now. As servants, we must be ready and willing to change. The most beautiful and revealing line in the gospel lesson today is when Mark writes, Jesus looking at him, loved him. Jesus sees us. We cannot hide from the shepherd's watchful and attentive eye. Jesus sees us, every nook and cranny of us, and loves us. Jesus was not judging the man. Jesus saw him, and he knew he was following Jewish law. The man was seeking deeper meaning in his life, so he approached Jesus. And Jesus, seeing this man's heart, reading his inner nature, knew what he needed to do. And in Jesus' reply to the man, he listed the commandments. Did you notice? He listed the commandments that had to do with how humans treat humans, how we care for one another. Jesus knew that in order for this man to grow spiritually, and in order for him to have a wiser heart, in order for him to be built up in spirit, he would need to work on how he's caring for others. Jesus knew by looking at his heart that this is where this man needed to work, spiritually. Jesus knew that this man had been blessed abundantly in worldly possessions, yet spiritually he lacked much. Jesus' ultimate desire for every person, each one of us, is that we grow spiritually and gain more of God's grace, God's mercy, and God's joy in this life, the life we have here and now, and in heaven. This courageous man who stands before Jesus today has the gift of wealth. He is now in faith to use it to care for others. We read in Luke, from everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. Each of us have received God-given gifts. What's yours? Wealth? Compassion? Accounting? You good with numbers? Patience. Maybe you have leadership skills. Teaching. Self-control. Physical strength. Knowledge. Gentleness. What gift it is that God has given you? The next question is, how are we, or how do we use these gifts in more ways to bless God's people and build up God's kingdom here on earth, in life, in a somewhat brief life? And it's never too late. Here's some more good news. It's never too late to make these discoveries and begin living them out. Jesus reminds the disciples that when from your heart, your inner nature, you are willing to sacrifice, especially the things that mean the most to you, when you sacrifice for my sake, you will be rewarded. As humans, at times, there's a hunger that wells up in us. We notice there's a void. And we may seek an answer, an easy answer, or a quick fix. Yet an easy answer and a quick fix will be temporary, it will be unfulfilling, and it will be disappointing. I remember at 10 years of age, pleading, that's when I started pleading with God, trying to bargain with him. If only, Lord, I could get that yellow 3-speed bike with the banana seat, I'd be a good kid. I remember getting a message kind of like, you are a good kid. Stop bargaining with me and do this. Focus on this for a while and get to Sunday school. This man from today's lesson wanted an easy answer from the good teacher. What he got was a spiritual challenge. He received this challenge for one reason only, because Jesus' desire for him is that he would experience more grace, more mercy, more joy in his life by living life according to God's plan. So Jesus told him, I see you, I love you, and I hear you want more. Spiritually, here's what you got to do. Go sell what you own and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. That is how you follow me. I am the way. I am the light that shines the way to God. God's grace, God's mercy, and God's joy. Jesus surprised the man, and the man went away grieving and sad, for he had many possessions. To give up his possessions would bring on great change and loss for him. Change on any level is hard. We grieve when a change occurs before we're ready for it. We grieve when something swoops in and surprises us when we're not prepared. A spiritual life is one lived expecting change and preparing our hearts and our spirits for change, because we know it's going to come, right? You guys are really getting good at that. The change is still difficult on a human level, yet we move through it on a spiritual level, trusting in God and God's greater good. Change and letting go is hard work. And in life, there are necessary endings. There are needed partings, so something new can be created. This is your time as a community of faith to say, spiritually, what do we need? As a community, as a body of believers, what do we need as we move ahead and draw closer and closer to God through Jesus Christ? If our heart is hungry and seeking, we need to look to God through Christ, our holy lens, to see what God might have in store for us, and we listen. We cry out with the psalmist, create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Salvation in Christ is not about saving or storing up our belongings or our gifts for a rainy day, or a devoted life to God when we get some free time. Salvation is about being born again, born anew, right now, so that we might know the fullness of joy found in a life of service and obedience, a life serving God out of the gifts we have been given, will be a life filled with joyful surprises. When our youth prepare to head off to college or people we know are venturing out in the world, we need, as believers, to help them to identify the gifts God has blessed them with and encourage them to use those gifts to care for God's people in a life devoted to service. In a life of service, God is lifted and glorified, and the servant finds joy, meaning, purpose, and hope. Hope with our eyes on Jesus is a hope, a watchfulness that will never disappoint us. When we are disappointed, not content, when there is a restlessness in our spirit, it's time for something new. A time to be born again. Maybe it's time to toss to the side an old way of doing things so something new can begin. A weary person I met this week told me, "You know what, Jackie, when the Lord says it's time to nap, there's only one thing to do." I go, "Nap?" Now, if the Spirit's nudging you to do that right now, I need you to hang in with me for a couple more minutes. When the Spirit is tugging on you and says, it's time to move, like I'm sure it has been with Pastor Ruth for a while, it's time to do something new. It's time to let go and move on, move past this wall we've been up against. That's me. There's only one thing to do. What's that? Move. Right? It's hard. There's only one way to feed a hungry heart and satisfy a restless spirit, and that is to obey God's holy and divine nudgings. The hard part is when we know something new needs to happen and we're not sure what it is. Our job in the faith journey is to keep seeking Jesus. He will open new doors, offer new possibilities, enlighten us, and at the right time, take our hand and lead us through. Sometimes it seems like we wait a long time, right? In my case, I believe it's usually because I have to practice patience. And then there's that nudging to do something new in our life with Christ, maybe even something a little radical. We eventually see and hear what we're being asked to do. We hear God's call. Our choice at that point is to move ahead or turn away like the man did and grieve, hang our heads and grieve. In our grief, we may deny that we actually heard God's voice and justify his calling away. That wasn't really God. That was my mind playing tricks on me again. If he tells me again, then I will know it's God. Or we might get angry that God has asked us for such an abrupt change in our life, that God has asked us to do something inconvenient. And after all, I have worked hard for these things. I deserve to cling on to these things, this house. I have gained through my toil and my sweat. Or we may start to bargain. But God, if only I had that 3-speed bike. But God, I keep these commandments really well. But God, I've been a good person. At least I haven't been a murderer or a thief. In our grief, we may just get sad, disappointed, and that leads to us being stuck for a while. And Jesus is awesome the way he says, you know what? You need to be sad for a while, but I'm right here. When you're ready to move, we'll move together. So eventually in our grief, we might find acceptance and move to a new place spiritually, be renewed, encouraged, and find a little bit of new energy. The man, the seeker in today's story, decided to turn and walk away in his grief and sadness. The good news is that when God has a plan, the Holy Spirit is very persistent and will return to this man one way or another. And God will continue to insist on God's way because it is the way to freedom, to grace, to mercy, to joy. And God wants that for every one of his kids. For each one of us, that's what he wants. He wants us to have more. We all have it. He wants us to have more. I'm reminded that both Francis of Assisi and Mother Teresa came from wealthy and privileged life situations. Francis was in war. He was ill, with a fever, hungry, thirsty, and lost. And he chose, in that condition, to follow Jesus. He and Mother Teresa heard God's call, and they responded and offered their lives as a living sacrifice in service to God. Where or how might the Holy Spirit be nudging you today? I don't think I see any nappers yet. What do you need to let go of so something new can be created? Today's the day the Lord has made. He's in it and he's ready. He's waiting and more than willing. God's plan is for us to inherit his grace, his mercy, and his joy right here, right now. Amen. Let us pray.